Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
We'll read from verse 1. From verse 1, Numbers 13, 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. This is the part of my message, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were the heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben. All right, so that's the correction there. Now please stay with me. Part 3. Taking your unconquered territory. I'm going to give you some quick points here, so I need you to write. Number one is that you cannot identify a territory except it is revealed. You cannot choose that a particular industry, family, business is your area of industry. You can do it by faith because God has given us free will. But if your destinies, there are destinies and there are destinies. And the day the Lord explained this to me, I became very careful. Not all destinies are the same. Some destinies are more significant than others. If you marry a man whose destiny was to be the richest man in Africa, you cannot be an ordinary wife. Please, are you with me? And I want you to pay attention because some of us are using people whose ranking in destiny are below our own as measurement of standard and consecration. How many of you know Dangote's wife? But she's there. She's there, the first wife. She's there. She's there somewhere. I hope you know she's connected. I hope you know she can use her phone, call the president's wife. Huh? I hope you know that most of the places the man goes, he takes his wife for security reasons. But do you know her? If she walks in here now, do you know her? Those are the demands of destiny. There are certain destinies that require you to be faceless but forceful. Nobody will see your face, but they'll be feeling your effect. They will know that the reason why this man is making progress, there's a woman behind him. How many of you know, and please forgive me that I'm using unbelievers as examples, but they actually explain what I'm trying to say. So let me use a Christian. How many of you know former Minister of Finance, Okonjo-Iweala? You know her, right? Do you know the current Minister of Finance? See, this thing that they call star, is different too. There's somebody who is the current Minister of Finance. We don't even know his name. Or you need to be in the financial world to know that, oh, there's somebody. Is it Taiwo? Taiwo Edu? I don't know. Somebody. Maybe not. Wale or something, you know. But it's not significant. You have to be an accountant. My wife's an accountant to appreciate. And I'm not sure my wife cares 2 cents about him. You see this thing called star? Huh? The Bible says when Jesus was born, they saw his star. You have a star. That's why God told the Israelites, don't study stars. Because if you study stars, you can manipulate some things. Astrology. All these Pisces, Taurus. What is your star? What are those names again? Pisces, Taurus, Leo. Shekpe. There are everybody has a star. Do you know that if it was possible, those stargazers could have covered the star of Jesus? The fact that they could identify the star and say this star belongs to a king, means it's very possible they've done something to some other people's star. Somebody's star was covered by food. He went to his brother Esau and Jacob, and he said, I'm hungry because of food. I'm hungry. These are spiritual things. People just sit down and be shouting Holy Ghost fire. You better sit down and look at this thing very well. Before you shout Holy Ghost fire, maybe it's water you need. May not need fire. Please, are you with me this morning? Please, I want you to be following me, because some of the problems we are having is that many times the star was covered, sometimes destroyed. Nobody can tell me there's nothing like star. Jesus had one. That's why if you always have that feeling like your life is supposed to have a global meaning. You know, it's not something you give. Is there anybody that doesn't want to be global? But there are some people, in your heart of hearts, you know that your life cannot just be about your marriage, your children, that there's something about you that transcends what everybody does. And that in time, your prophecy will speak. If you are that kind of person, you must be interested in territories, because dominion is established in territories. That's why we call them landlord. They are lords over land. In the ancient British Empire, those you refer to as lords, where you have House of Lords, is not a political role per se. They were people who had large portions of land. That's why they were called lords. Then you have the House of Commons. Those ones are the Bugbero, like you and I. But the House of Lords, they can come together and go against the king, because they have land. Come on, say you need land. Come on, say I need land. You need land. You need territory. Nobody will respect you. Even if you are gifted and you don't have a territory that is in your name, you are still a slave. You're a servant. Truly, you are gifted. But your giftedness can be nullified by one man's decision to throw you off his land. Don't come here again. You have no job. You are fired. And all of a sudden, you are useless. You know a lot of things, but they are useless. That is why it is good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. Please, are you with me? It's good for a man to bear his yoke when you can afford to pray, when you have time to pray, when you have time to intercede, when you have time to assess the situation that is going on in your family, and ask yourself, what is the way forward? Why am I always having this pattern? And that's why the Lord spoke to Moses, send men. It takes God to point you in the direction of your territory. Your territory might even be occupied by somebody now, but it is in your name. So we need to evacuate that person. He said, send down men that they may search the land. He said, which I give unto the children of Israel. So the territory God wants to give to you. I don't know about your family, but do you know there are families where they still celebrate the great-grandfather in that family 100 years after, because of something that he did? Maybe he bought hectares and hectares of land and they planted cocoa on it, and because of that they are always having money. They sent children to the UK to study with cocoa money. They sent children to America, they became doctors in the US, cocoa money. So you see, people almost, you know, if the family is united, they always remember the anniversary of that patriarch. He has become a patriarch. You cannot do the usual and expect to be distinct. You cannot do the usual. You have to break out of the wake up, go to work. Listen, excuse me, it's good to have a job. But if you don't have a covenant, you cannot get territories. I want you to think, because some of us are, this is February now, some of us are already wasting our time. Nothing is going to change if you continue running your life the way you did it last year. Nothing is going to change. I asked my friend who is a doctor. He has a PhD. And I asked him, I said, how much does a PhD holder earn in Nigeria? I don't think they earn up to 250,000. I don't think so. Except something happens tomorrow morning, being a Monday. No PhD holder. Oh, I'm doctor. You see them on Channel's television. Or, oh, I'm this doctor, this thing from university, or he's a political analyst. And all that story. Huh? Now, some of you earn more than that. And you don't have a PhD. That's what some of us are still dragging ourselves to UNILAG, that they should give us for less than 300,000. Please, I want you to stay with me. You cannot do the usual and expect to be distinct. God said to Moses, you need a command. You need God to point you. Come on, say, I need God to point me in the direction of my territory. So you may spend, it's better to spend the next 2 months praying and seeking God that he may show us the way. He may show us the way. That he may show us the way. God said to Moses, the God talked to everybody. He spoke to the head of the church, the pastor. He said, tell these people to search the land. Now, listen, there's something I need to bring to your attention. If you have no man in your family who is a patriarch or who is a man of God or somebody who understands spiritual things, then it's better you start now so that in the next 30 years, you would have achieved a lot. You know, I was on the road yesterday. I don't know where I was, somewhere around the house, and a thought just came into my heart. Start working hard now. 30 years is just around the corner. 30 years is just, and it just came into my spirit. 30 years is just around the corner. Like, do the work now. Before you know, it's going to be 30 years. And what happened was, I was watching a man, a Nigerian who was in the US, you know, I married an American, he sells cars for Toyota. And then he came back home and built a mansion in his village. He's from the Southeast. A mansion. Even though the Americans are popular for divorcing and all of that, but this one can't leave the man. You can't leave the man. Before you leave some men, you think twice. Because not only will the man leave you alone, he will divorce you, then fight you in court, and you won't get one penny. The woman was just happy. She wore Igbo, traditional Igbo, this white woman. She was shaking her body and she's happy. Her husband, and it's because the man is doing well. The Lord said to them, let them search the land which I give unto the children of Israel, which means the territory we are even contending for is for your children, so that they won't have to fight. Hallelujah. Their lives are supposed to be easier because they came through you. Don't be excited when you have a father or a mother who has money but has no inheritance. It's better to have a praying father or praying mother. If all you have is money, you are broke. Because whatever you get in the spirit realm, you secure in the spirit realm. That's why you see children that come out from very poor families. But because of their commitment to Christ, the children will start breaking forth and they are becoming people in life. Somebody lied to us when they told us it was money we should be pursuing. There is something that makes money look weak. It's called influence. You just pick your phone, call somebody, say, don't worry, we'll bring it to you. You didn't spend any money. Just pick your phone, call the person. A man came to Jesus. He said, my servant is sick. And Jesus got up and followed the man. Jesus is a very busy person. That's influence. That's what? Whatever you can make Jesus get up and say, let me go with you. It wasn't part of his itinerary for that day. And Jesus got up. It was later the man said, or guys, like, you don't want your child to be ill. This is Jesus, so let him say a word. He's busy. But the Pharisees, they prefer for Jesus to come, then they will cook, and then Jesus will be eating. That's what they know how to do. But one man descend the honor that was upon Jesus and say, Jesus, it's just like some of you saying, God, if you can just appear to me now and tell me when I will get married, tell me where I will live, I will just be all right, I will believe. And Jesus is saying, look, you don't need me, you need my word. Follow that principle. I prayed that prayer before, that's how I know. Ah, God, the way my life is even going, I don't, if you can just appear to me now, I only want to see you once. I will ask you all the questions I want to ask you about my life. The day I saw him, I didn't remember. I came out, I was so angry with myself, like, oh my God, fantastic opportunity. You will not remember. When you see him, he is your answer. He is your answer. He is your answer. You can't remember. Sorry, sir. That thing, what killed my father 10 years ago? He said, your father is dead. Why did he ask me about your own? The man is gone. So there are some basic things I want to bring out from this Bible reading. Number one, keys to taking the land. The first one that I mentioned is that we must receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. And please permit me to tell you that God can change his mind. God can change his mind. God can tell you to get up right now and start going to Abuja. And then somewhere around Kogi, we tell you to turn back. God cannot do that. He's the Almighty God. He told Abraham to kill his son. And he meant it. Last minute, he said, I changed my mind. We are not killing anybody today. If Abraham heard God say kill, and he left his brain at home, and when he wanted to kill the boy, he didn't hear, don't kill again, he would have been a murderer. It's always good to check with God. Are you still saying I should continue with this thing? If you got into a particular office by the word of the Lord, you cannot leave that office except God tells you to go. Yes. People don't understand God. That's why people say they are praying. God is not talking. God, you have found yourself to be unworthy. You have found yourself to be unworthy. If you get into a relationship because God said, you cannot leave because the relationship is acting up. You cannot leave. The person who brought you is the one that will tell you to leave. People don't know. They don't know who God is. You are presented with an American gospel. Huh? Even the gods of our land here, these ones here, even though they are, we don't know their house again, don't know their location. But the gods of our land, if they tell you come to the shrine in 7 market days, if you are sick, you must carry yourself there. They told you to start this business because the business is not making progress. You say, I want to stop what I'm doing. Who sent you? Go and meet the person. Because whoever tells you to do it, we take responsibility. That's the first thing. You must be guided by God. I'm talking to those who want to do something that we have enough weight and capacity that their children can benefit from. So that when your children grow up and they ask you, Mommy, how did we grow and become like this? You will tell them, we got to this point obeying God. We got to this point obeying God. Number two, keys to taking the land. Moses said to them, select a few men. Huh? Go and search the land. Search the land. What do we mean by searching the land? If the Lord begins to point in a particular direction, there are certain things he wants you to pay attention. Don't just jump. Some of you jump like Johnson. Like Ben Johnson. Don't just jump. What does it mean to search the land? To search the land means to inquire, what type of land is this? What kind of land is this? Who is it? A fruitful land? Is it a fruitful business? Is it, which kind of family do I want to marry into? Which kind of problems are they having there? Huh? Not for you to say you met on social media, you say you love each other. Just because his name is Franklin doesn't mean he's not under a curse. His name may be Franklin, and he may be under a curse. Meanwhile, your other name may be Osato Ogenerukewe, and you may be free. Your name may be Ebonhon. Juju de here. Ebonhon means juju de here. And you may be free. But your name may be Muhammad. Oh my God. And your name is in the book of life. And your name may be Christos. And you're on your way to hell. Don't be deceived. Behind every face, there are stories. Behind every face, when you see people that that are gentle, you ask, Mama, why are you gentle? Is it Oju Tiri? I have seen. That's why for some of you, as you get older, you notice you are getting very gentle, very quiet. When people do something, you just keep quiet, be watching. Say, the Pastor Benga used to know. He would just tell you straight. Oju Tiri? I have seen. So let's be taking it. Have you gone to very big churches and you notice the pastor is one quiet person? The reverend there is very quiet. You wonder, why are all these people coming? Oju Tiri? I have seen. Say, go and search the land. Please say, search the land. Search the land. What kind of land is God bringing me to? Don't just jump in. There might be giants there. Search the land. What is the nature of this environment? That's when we say search the land. Is it, what kind of environment? Is it a toxic environment? Because the result of research will now tell you how you need to prepare yourself. That in this place, they don't hug people. In this office, they don't hug you. Huh? I was talking to someone in Canada, and the wonderful lady said to me, your colleagues are not your friends. Don't get it twisted. It's something I've always known. But, she made it very obvious again that in Canada, your colleagues at the office are not your friends. Just because you greeted somebody this morning, and the person responded well, and was even smiling and offered you some coffee, and you thought the person is your friend. The next morning, you are coming into the office. Oh, hi, Cassandra. She just ignores you. Like, here you are thinking you are about to make a friend. She just ignores you like, why are you greeting me? Because I gave you coffee yesterday. Is that why I got you? Go and get busy. The reason why she spoke to you yesterday, because you people had something to do together that was on the job. She offered you coffee because of the job, not because she wants to be your friend. Search the land. What type of environment is God sending me to? What kind of family is God sending me to? What kind of business is the Lord asking me to start? Don't just jump in and be ignorant. There might be giants in the land. Number three. What kind of people are here? Are they strong or are they weak? What kind of people are in this land? Are they strong or are they weak? This is a research that you must do, and you must not lie to yourself. If you are going into a family where they have strong, even from the entrance, they have strong altars. I went to preach in a particular city, I won't tell you where. And the pastor's house has shrine. The pastor's house where they gave me food. I did not eat the food, though. Emeke. Those are the tongues of angels. I just spoke the tongues of angels. Amen. The pastor is telling me, welcome to our city. And at your gate, I'm seeing through two idols, altars. I said, what is this? He said, it's the landlord that built the house. That's weird. I said, and you are living here. He said, Pastor, it doesn't mean anything. I said, now I know why you are not making progress. You must be very strong to live in that kind of a place. You are the one that calls it a statue. The owner of the statue knows who he is. You are going to your fiancé's house. You got there. You saw somebody speaking into the air with cola nut. They say, it's your fiancé's eldest sister. And she was doing like this. And four corner. And she faced you. And what? and you did not take off. Say, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. My brother. And if you are very strong, no problem. You know, I told you, search the land. What kind of people are there? Are they strong? Or are they weak? When the Israelites got to Canaan, what did they meet? Giants. Some of these giants were of the sons of Anak. The Anakims. Huh? You know all the sons of Anakims, huh? Huh? Anakims, they... When the Lord destroyed the earth, Noah's world, huh? When the Lord destroyed Noah's world, it was not just because of the sins they were committing. It was because the earth had become polluted with a mixed breed. There were giants in the land. There were people who are angels that left. The Bible calls them the watchers. Have you heard of the watchers before? Do you know what their job is? Do you know who knows what the job of a watcher is? Huh? They watch. There are angelic beings that God put in the heavenly realm, in the sky. Their job is to be watching all of you and give first-hand report to heaven. So they watched until they watched and they saw beautiful women. Ah, they say these people are enjoying, you know. Wow. Look at this one. Look at her hair. Very long. What are we even doing here? We don't do anything in this place. Let's go there and check on them. And the instruction is, you must not have physical contact. Your job is to watch, not touch. And then they gave birth to giants. Married them. Taught those people all manner of inventions. How to do incantations. How to make weapons. That's how we learned it too. It's in the Bible. So they gave birth to giants. Those giants were the generation, part of the generation of those giants are the Anaks. A few of them survived. And they continued that expansion. And they found some of them in Canaan. So now, do you understand why God wanted Canaan? Can you see what I'm saying now? Can you see why God wanted Canaan? Because Canaan represented the last conclave of a good number of giants, Nephilims, generations and generations of giants that remain in the land. And God said, that's where we want. Because God understands the importance of territory. If those guys remain, it will be a problem. That is why Goliath had to die. It didn't matter who fought him. It didn't matter. The problem Saul had was that he didn't even have any relationship with God. So he didn't have the faith to go against Goliath. But Goliath was also one of those giants. And anywhere God sees giants, he doesn't want to see them. How will it be said in the courts of heaven that it was a giant that defeated the army of God? So God needed to use somebody as weak as David. One stone to bring his head down. So the type of people you have in your territory that you are researching will let you know the weight of treasure that is in that land. The scripture says concerning Canaan that this is a land that is filled with what? Milk and honey. There's no physical milk there. Hello? There's no physical milk. If you dig the ground, you will not see milk. Some people like milk. Huh? If you dig the ground from here till Ogudu, you will not see a cup of milk. And there's no honey in the ground. Huh? If you want your milk, you have to milk your cows. And if you want your honey, you have to go to the beehive. What God was simply telling them is that this ground is blessed. Anything you do here will prosper. And that is why one of the ways you know territories that are loaded with blessings, giants and occultic forces always gather around them because they don't want anybody to take that territory. This Mende area here is known to have a lot of strange satanic altars. I don't know if you are aware. this Mende here, Maryland, a lot of weird altars. If you go inward, Mende, you will still see some of them. Despite our salvation message, preaching, churches, if you want that area, remove the altar. So you need to find out what kind of people are there. And please, this is a research you do in the place of prayer and by meditation. This is very important, especially in the area of marriage. Know the battle you want to fight before you get there. Don't just go in and start dealing with things. And this is the mistake most of us make. We marry for love. We don't marry for destiny. Then we'll get in and then destiny will start bringing battles. And we now start struggling because we are not ready. We are not prepared. Some of you, on your wedding day, they were telling you, kiss your bride. Kiss your bride. It's good to kiss your bride. They brought camera. We hear you're a pastor. Kiss your bride. Kiss your bride. That's what they did to some of us. They didn't tell us anything that will make our lives better. Last year, I went to Canaan. I saw a pastor. I said, do you remember me? He said, no. I said, he cannot remember. Cannot remember. Thank God I did not listen to you. How can you have a two-hour service? Oh, I hear you're a pastor. Congratulations. You pastors, you are very spiritual. You don't know how to be romantic. Who told you? Speak for yourself. So assuming I didn't know anything of the Bible of my own, that's how the man would have condemned me. You think it is romance that keeps a home? It's just one of those things. So. When searching the land, you ask yourself, what kind of city is this? Is it a city that is given to altars? This area that God has said, go into Canaan. Is it a particular area that is given to what? To altars. You have to know. What kind of buildings are here? Have you researched some of the pyramids in Egypt? And how it has been proven by science that those pyramids, I hope you know those pyramids have been there thousands of years. Huh? I hope you know no human being can erect that kind of pyramid. I hope you know. Those pyramids were erected by the giants who lived. And those things were left as a sign that, in fact, when you go online, you will see the weapons that many of those giants, I saw it yesterday or 2 days ago on YouTube, some of the weapons that were excavated from the ground, that the height of the weapons is like twice my height. Sword, twice my height and the weight. So what kind of human being will wield that weapon? He has to be a giant. God left those things on earth. They were buried in the ground and they are bringing them out now. Some of them are in museums in Japan and in Europe. This pyramid have been shown to have a direct alignment with the stars. Do you remember Nimrod? Nimrod was the first king of the earth. Nimrod, you didn't read about him well. Nimrod was not just a hunter. He was the first king of the earth, the first person to organize men into societies, into groups, and he told them, we want to reach the heavens. Please let me ask you a question. Do you honestly think anybody can build a physical structure and reach the heavens where God is? So does that suggest to you that it was not just a physical building? The physical structure was just a type, was just a physical representation. It's just like when you say you give your tithe or you do something physical like fasting and prayer, but the real work is in the spiritual realm. What if that structure had no significance? Why would God come down to stop them? That guy was not just a king, a gatherer of men. He was a spiritual man. He was a wizard. There are some things I would have said to you now, but I don't want to burst your bubble. So let me throw it in, but it's not the main context of. There's a book in the Bible that is called the Book of Jasher. Have you read about it before? Have you seen it in the Bible, the Book of Jasher? Huh? Who has seen it before? You've seen it. It's in the Bible. Go on Google. Type Jasher, put KJV on Google. It will show you the portions in the Bible that have the Book of Jasher. The Book of Jasher is like the Book of Genesis. It gives you some more details. Some more detail about certain things that you find in Genesis but was not explained. And in the Book of Jasher, it was explained that the garment that God made for Adam when he covered their nakedness, it was not an ordinary garment. That garment had some divinity in it. And that garment was passed from generation to generation. Then somebody hid the garment. And then later, the garment surfaced in the hands of Nimrod. And that was the garment that on which Nimrod rode into prominence. Leave it. Go and read. Go and download Jasher on Google Play and read it. So when you are dealing with somebody whose system of authority is rooted in something that God once placed his approval on, your covenant must be strong. If you are dealing with somebody, for instance, you are fighting a particular lady whose father, for instance, is Ayo Babalola, or used to be Ayo Babalola. She may not be as anointed as her father used to be, or her grandfather, but because of the covenant God has with the man, you will start having problems. And you won't know how or why. God will never forget. Oh my God. The scripture says, he said, I will not forget your children. That's what the scripture said. Anything God is doing with you now, we extend to your children. That is why you have to take it seriously. God doesn't do anything with you and say, only you. No. It was because of his relationship with David that he spared Solomon. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? How you follow God matters. Your children will benefit. Sometimes God will just give them time and mercy. Say, because of your father, I will not allow anything to happen to you. So you can still give your life to Christ because of your father. And the children may be there and will not even know why God is being patient with them. It was the labor of their fathers. That is the reason why we are talking about taking territories. This building where we are right now cost us several millions every year. But do you know that if Satan is unable to stop what is going on here, he will enter the heart of the landlord. That's why you need territories. Because on your own territory, you can decide what you want to do. Last week, the Lagos State government announced that, did you see that policy? It came out that every church and club located within residential areas should be shut down immediately, whether they have collected rent or not. Whether the landlord, that means if you have a church in your parlor, for instance, the landlord should give you quick notice. If you have house fellowship and they are singing there and collecting offering, send them out. The landlord made a decision. Do you understand what I'm saying? He made a decision. Search the land. What kind of buildings are here? Some years ago, I was trying to rent a house. This was many years ago. I mean, if I see it now, I will probably rent the house because I'm stronger spiritually. But back then, I was trying to rent a one-room apartment. And I noticed at the front of the building, they hung a broom there. They hung a broom. So I asked, I said, what's the purpose of this broom? They say if a thief comes at night, the thief will sweep till the next morning. Another one, you see them, they will hang something that looks like a charm. And they will tell you, if your heart is clean, don't worry. It's those whose heart is wicked that this thing will catch. So I saw this, I say, I'm looking, this is not the kind of house I'm looking for. Who you allow in your territory matters. My friend, my dear friend, Pastor Desmond, has this, he rented this type of house where they had a broom. Huh? But they did not know that they were bringing in a man of God. The owners of that house were allergies. They were staunch Muslims. But they loved Pastor Desmond because he was very friendly. So they gave him the house. And we used to go there. I used to sleep in that house with Pastor Desmond. And we were there for 4 years. But they had a son in that house that loved Pastor Desmond so dearly. Pastor, he used to laugh when he sees us fasting and praying in tongues. The Muslims did not mind. The guy will now go outside. He'll be mimicking what we are doing. So we didn't mind. You are our landlord. We didn't mind. That boy is born again today. He's born again. He decided in that house after we left that he wanted to be in that house. Nobody preached to him. He decided. He had seen Christians with them. He had seen what they do. He had seen how they said they were fasting. And in between 6 a.m. and 12 p.m., he still go and hide and eat something. He saw it. He decided. All God needed was a witness. Somebody to stand in that house for 4 years plus strike. Castle strike. And that was the only witness that boy needed. He became a Christian. When I heard, I said, wow. Oh, you align your space matter. The moment the Canaanites permitted the spies to enter, wherever the soul of your feet, the moment their feet touched that ground, it was already theirs. Whether you believe or not. When you set the land, you ask yourself, what kind of altars have been erected here? Pay attention. My friend who worked in Kenya for an Indian company said there is this altar like that was in the center of the building. Huh? Not outside though. The building. Just like you are moving from your office to another office. At the center of that property, inside, there was an idol that was erected there. Do you know how strict Indians are when you work with them? Have you ever seen someone work with an Indian? They don't play with their money and their time. They even want to cheat you. As strict as those men were, once it was break time, you will see those senior managers, they will go kneel in front of that altar and they'll start doing this and bowing down and offering sacrifices. This is not good. This is a company. This and people should not be doing this. This is a corporate environment. Oh, guys, like you don't want to work here again. Like you are tired. The money we are paying, you don't like it. Mind your business. This is our land. This is our territory. Huh? We can do what we like. You can't do what you like if you are a tenant. Come on, say, I refuse to be a tenant. Over my destiny, I refuse to be a tenant. The guy said, as wonderful as those guys are, break time, you will see them with their sacrifice. As tough as they are, they become jellyfish. They become very weak in front of them. They will be crying and offering their sacrifices in front of that thing. Everybody's walking about. You see them one after the other. And when you don't do what they are doing, they start watching you. They don't care if you are Indian or you are Nigerian or Kenyan. They start watching you. If you don't come there to kneel down or drop something, they'll say, this one cannot stay here for long. They see you as an enemy. Ask yourself, what kind of altars are here? One of the ways to identify altars is to listen to the stories they tell you about that place. You want to get married to somebody? Sit down with your future mother-in-law. Ah, mommy, tell me about this family. She will tell you, our grandfather was a man of God. Yeah, Reverend. This thing, he worked with her, Babalola. My own father worked with Obadare. You know, when they start telling you stories, you can see that at least 3 generations ahead, they are pure. The lineage is pure. You know that even your own problem will not survive here because these people, they have been following God. If you are coming into a family where they don't have record of following God, they sleep on Sunday. They sleep on Sunday and say they will go to church next week. Then you can marry, but get ready to pray. Yes, I'm not joking. Because Satan knows that the moment someone starts praying, revelations will start coming. So he prefers you to be, he will be blessing you. But don't pray. I don't want anywhere to pray in this house. Check which altars are here. You will not see the altars just by looking. No, you have to look at the stories. Listen to what the owners of the land are saying. Number two, Jesus said, send men. Ah, God. Jesus said, send men. He said, send men. Still in that scripture, in verse 2, he says, send down men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler amongst them. So Jesus, I said Jesus, the Lord said to them, don't send a novice. He said, send a ruler. Can you see it? Please, give me that scripture. Verse 2. He says, send a ruler from each tribe. He said, everyone a ruler amongst them. Send a send somebody that is matured. Because where you are going, you don't know what you meet here. We, if we get there and we notice we need to start praying in tongues for 3 hours. We don't want someone to say, I've never prayed in tongues for 3 hours before. And one of the most difficult things to do is to pray for 3 hours under pressure if you have never done it before. Who knows what I'm talking about? When you have to pray for hours and it's as if the warfare refuses to crack. As you are praying, the thing is becoming stronger. Stronger. You have to stay there and keep praying. Because if you leave, when you come back, you start from the scratch again. You have to. Once you enter that mode, don't send a child to this Canaan. There are altars there. There are giants. People worship giants there. Send men. Select people based on skill and not just personal relationship. When you hear send men, you want to go into a new project, you want to start something, don't just use it's my brother. Don't use personal relationship. Oh, it's my friend. We've known each other from secondary school. Select people based on what? Skills are not just personal relationship. That's why people suffer. I was listening to a CEO and he said one of the most difficult things that can happen to you as a top executive is to appoint your friend into management in a company where you oversee. Because your friend many times cannot tell the difference between am I talking to my friend or my boss. Everybody calls you Mr. Gwenga. He comes here and says, Binguze, just shake your hand. And even she could be a lady, but we've known each other for years. She will come and knock a close here. You didn't come here today. She's not my wife. Nobody can try that in that company. But she can because we've been friends. Kilo and share, you didn't check your hair. See, what's all this thing? Which kind of mattress did you sleep with? Oh, yeah, by me, you're by me. She would, people would say, are they dating? No, they are just friends. They've been friends since 1845. But the problem is that if she's not doing her job, you can't fight her. Because of the relationship. So if I'm going into a business relationship with you, I don't care if you are the son of Saint Michael or Archangel Uriel or Moroni. I will sign a paper with you. I don't care if your father is the one that made a bag of rice, 68,000. I will sign a document with you saying that this is what you will do in this relationship, in this business. This is my own work. Do your work. Let me do my own. Not that I'll be doing all the work. You will be relaxing. Then you want to share profit. Select people based on skill and not just personal relationships. When he says send men, what is he saying? He's saying pray for strategic people. Pray that the Lord will send strategic people. People that can do this work with you. Pray that God should send them. You don't know them. Most of the people that will come cannot do it. But they will tell you they can do it. Pray for the Lord to give you the right men, right women to work with you. Because you won't know with your eyes. It's God himself that will bring those people. So send men to Canaan. What it means is that pray. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, pray that the Lord will send men into what? His harvest field. Say for the what? The harvest is much, but the laborers are few. Even from the days of Jesus, they have been complaining. Nobody to work for God. From the days of Jesus. So your own refusal is not new. Your ancestors did the same thing. For Jesus to say, brethren, let us pray. Let's not preach again. Let's pray. We need men that will go to Africa. We need men. For Jesus to be given a prayer call, that means it's a serious matter. Go and check everywhere Peter's ministry made impact. It was after prayer. He prayed. They spoke in tongues. They came to gather around them. 3,000 people were saved. They arrested him. He gathered again to pray. After they released him, after they threatened him, the building shook. They were filled with spirit of boldness. They arrested him again. And they prayed all through. An angel delivered Peter. Listen to me. If it is as far as God is concerned, your destiny cannot matter outside of prayer. It cannot. Come on, say pray for strategic people. Select people based on skills. Not just personal relationship. So you need to look at this person. This one, what can he do? This is a prayer warrior at the order of the throne room. Come. What of this one? This one can worship and bring God's presence down. Okay, come. What of this one? Yeah, sir, this one is your younger brother. Let him go and sit down. How about this one? Say it's your wife. Go and sit down. Go and be cooking. What we want to do requires men and women of skill. So if it's not your area, don't worry. Go and sit down. The children of Israel didn't all have to go into Canaan. They only selected 12 men. Meanwhile, the population of Israel was about 5 million. Look at the percentage. Just do the ratio. They look for 12 men to represent 5 million people. Think about it. You don't need so many people. Yes. Send men. Look for men who have failed before. People who have failed before, look for them and have recovered. They will help you more than people who speak lots of English. People who have started businesses and the business failed, go and look for them. Finally, the instruction was look for the fruit of the land. When the people got to the land, they brought a bunch of grapes as a witness that this was what they found there, to prove that the land is indeed fruitful. Huh? So when you go to the farm in your village, you may see some mango trees, but maybe if you go to your village and they plant yams there, but you know some yams are small. But have you been to some locations where they have very big yams? There's a place in Oyo State, I think, where they have this very big yams. I forgot the name of that village, but where they buy wedding yams exactly. So if you bring 45 tubers of yam, the one from my village will pursue you, go back. But if you go to that other place in Oyo State, one yam like this, it could be three of those other small yams. So these grapes that they brought was a fruit, a testament to Moses that indeed the land is fruitful. Because, and this is important, because even though you have not taken over the land, you must know exactly the reason why you are contending. That anything we plant here will grow. The prayer point will not be God bless it. Once you put it in the ground, it will grow. So that is why you must contend. And you must contend so that by the time you are dead, your children can continue that legacy. Not that they'll be fighting over your property. There's enough to go around. Number four. Don't rush, take your time. You want to take territories? Don't rush. Take your time. Moses did not just engage them directly. They prepared. They saw the land. They settled their internal quarrel. They saw the fruit of the land. Then they prepare to go. Taking your time, this matter took them 40 days. This particular point, when they got back, it took them 40 days. And how many of you know that 40 is significant? Jesus fasted for 40 days. Come on, say, don't rush. Take your time. Don't say because you are Jesus Christ and John laid his hands on you, you jump into ministry. Nobody will hear you. You won't even hear yourself. Your wife will not listen to your message. Take your time. There's something about 40 days that runs through the scripture. Moses was in the presence of the Lord for how many days? 40 days. There's something about 40. Your flesh will crack. It will become tendered, soft, for God to walk on. When Jesus went to John, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he went into the wilderness for 40 days, he was filled with power. There's a difference. You want power for territories? Don't rush. Take your time. Spend it with God. Forty days represents a full circle of divine engagement. 40 days means God has time to work on you, to talk to you. Many times after waiting on God for 40 days, Jesus didn't hear any voice. It was when he came out, the Bible said his fame. The result of your fasting, waiting on God for you will begin to see it like wildfire. Bible says his fame began to spread abroad. Anybody he touches, heal. Anybody he prays for, deliverance. And this kind of power is not normal. But believe me, every encounter with a prophet should lead you into 40 days. Jesus met with John, but the power did not manifest until he separated himself. If he rushed in to begin to minister and pray for people, he will suffer. He will begin to treat the sickness that he was casting out. Let your spirit learn to travel in the place of prayer until you encounter a breakthrough. Let your spirit continue to travel together until you encounter what? A breakthrough. Don't stop. Just continue hitting that door until the walls come down. It takes a level of discipline to wait on God for 40 days and be praying 4 hours every day. It takes a level of in between the 7th and 10th day, you have malaria. You know what I'm talking about. You start falling sick. No, you are not even eating good food before. Sir. So it's an apple and cassava you are eating. So if you want to go on that kind of fast, you prepare. Don't just say, by the grace of God, we are starting tomorrow. Hey, you and who? I'll see you next week. You don't go into that kind of fast recklessly. I say, don't rush. Plan. Is it going to be a fruit fast? Is it going to be a fast with water? What kind of fast? Prepare. What are the scriptures? What are the prayer points? What is your prayer schedule? What will be your prayer times? Oh, okay, Pastor, I'll wake up by 12. We'll pray in tongues till 3 a.m. Then I'll go to sleep. Then 2 p.m. in the afternoon, I pray for 2 hours again. So that's 5 hours in a day. Good, fine, let's start. So the moment you hit your prayer time, you cannot be online. You cannot be online. You cannot be online. You cannot be chatting. It's called separation. Separation includes separation from WhatsApp. Any customer that cannot come before your prayer time should wait. It is the price you will pay. It is the price you will pay. It is the price you will pay. A lot of us are playing games. That's why it seems as if we are weak. Our constitution is not strong. You have to be ready. You have to be ready. Let your spirit continue to travel. Travel. Don't worry about any divine encounter. When it is time, you will know. When it is time, you will what? You will know. You have to be ruthless if you want to regain your spirit back. You have to be ruthless and stubborn. Satan will not allow you to recover your spirit. You have to be ruthless and stubborn and say to yourself, oh my soul, today you will not eat. No matter the egg roll or the woman selling shawarma, it doesn't matter even if it's free. Some of you broke your fast because they gave you free shawarma. So take your territories, All these points you have heard today must be exercised in God's presence and not on the strength of carnality. If you want to take the city, you must know the one who is able to say to the gates, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors." There are ancient doors only God can talk to. And until you do your time in his presence, and he finally says, "Oh, she is ready," the gates will not listen to you. So I hope one of you or two of you can make a commitment today to know that unless you seek God on a prolonged level, you are still joking. It's not by going online and using data to join a 2-hour. That is just the beginning. Online prayer meeting is just the beginning. You will apportion fasting the way you apportion breakfast and lunch for yourself. The way you apportion 3 cups of rice, 4 cups. That's the way you will apportion fasting and prayer. Because the weight of your destiny is not even known to you. Until God opens the door, even you will not know what was contained in your book. It takes God to say, "She's ready. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." The first time God appeared to Jesus, he said, "This is my beloved son." Huh? But the second time, he added something. Say, "Hear him." That means from today, anywhere you talk, people will hear you. But look at the time it took even Jesus to grow into that stature where his father could tell the world, "Hear him. I've approved this message. Hear him." Do your time. Oh. Don't let anybody deceive you. You will not know how much time you can ground you can cover if you pray for 2 hours every day. You will not know until you start. And please, when you go before God like this, don't go with your problems. Go for him. Don't go with your problems. Many of us do 3 hours, 4 hours to talk about our problems. You will not touch the greatest depth of God's power like that. Because what will be allocated for you or to you will just be to take care of the problem. But if you can do that time, 3 hours, consistently for 6 months, do it consistently, just you and God, praying, asking him to take possession of your soul and your body and use your life the way he sees fit. Like Reverend Umar Okpai, who was crying in an uncompleted building for months, and asking God, "If truly you have forgiven me, anoint me." I've shared that story here before. You know, and today, that encounter in that uncompleted building is still following that man in his old age. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no Instagram post that can give you a short key. Huh? There is no post, there is no course, there is no online course, there is no program. There's nothing that will take away this requirement. You must pass that test, and the heavens must see that indeed you have met the requirement. I want you to receive grace this morning to enter into sanctified consecrations. I want you to pray right now and receive grace this morning to enter into sanctified consecrations.